my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and
Lord, so much for the name of Jesus. Ooh, there is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb this morning, and in the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus over our circumstance, the name of Jesus over our lives, the name of Jesus over our children, the name of Jesus over every aspect of our life, because at the name of Jesus, everything shall take a knee, including sickness, including depression, including infertility, including anxiety and panic. Father, we know at the name of Jesus, all these things shall bow down. We thank you for the power of God at work through the name of Jesus. And what it did on the cross, Father, for us today, that we can receive wholeheartedly the promises of Jesus and every aspect that you did on the cross, Lord. We open our hearts this morning to receive those things in our life, God. Oh, Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every single morning, and that your favor is on us, in us, and around us, and the healing power of Jesus is working through us, around us, and in us, and in our circumstances. Just declare this morning over your situation, the healing power of Jesus is at work in my life and in my circumstance, because it has to be, because of what he did on the cross. There is promise, there is hope, there is resurrection power in the name of Jesus. When I know, have nothing else to say, all I have to say is the name of Jesus. Out of a petition from my heart, and peace comes. Thank you, Father, for your words. Holy Spirit, we give you room to come and minister at need this morning. You are welcome, you are welcome, you are welcome in this place. Minister individually into the hearts of the women, into their situations, Lord. Minister, bring healing, bring wholeness, Lord. Your word is life, your word is abundance, your word is truth, God. Resurrect those things that are already in our heart, Lord. Bring them to life. Help us to understand with our minds the truth of your word this morning, God. These are your words, not mine, and I give you full stage to move. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name, amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Tanner. Thank you. Beautiful. Father, oh, praise God. The Holy Spirit's already ministering this morning. Welcome, 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 ladies. So glad to see you this morning. We have got quite the treat for you this morning. So you're going to be glad that you got up and came to Bible study. We got a treat for you this morning. Who was here last week? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 50, 60, 60? I think there was more, but you never know. Okay, so last week, I don't know if you remember, but I got up here and gave my testimony of God's faithfulness through my ectopic pregnancy that I had 2 weeks ago, and it was amazing how God works and how he just gives us those blessings in advance and the truth of his word. If you did not hear it, you're going to want to hear it. So if you were not here last week, go ahead and request a CD because it's on there and you can hear it and it can just bless your little spirit. Something happened last week that was really powerful and beautiful. And because we come from all different backgrounds and all different places, I felt like the Lord really wanted y'all to understand what happened last week. When I came up on stage and gave my testimony, I had a little bit of an emotional moment where I kind of lost my strength and needed something, the Lord to step in on my behalf. And that happened last week. And so I would just like to invite Jill, if y'all will just welcome her. She's going to come up here this morning for about 5 minutes, and she is going to tell y'all what happened last week so y'all have an understanding of how powerful our God is and how powerful the Holy Spirit is when you allow him to use you as a vessel. So if you will just welcome her to the stage. Yay! Jill, I want you to use this. Oh, who turned this off?
Oh, I did.
Oh, okay, turn back on. I want Jill to use this.
Man, is this your prop?
Because she's so delicate. No, that is not a prop. I don't know what that is. It was already here.
Well, it's my prop now.
There you go. It's Jill's prop. Here you go, ma'am. Is it on? Is it on?
No.
10-4. 10-4. 10-4. Oh. Oh, that would help. There we go. Hello? Hello? Hello?
I can just talk.
It's,
I've got a loud voice. I can just talk.
I know, but I really wanted you to have the mic.
Okay.
Thank you. It's plugged into the box. Because Tanner used it. Okay, it's fine. It's good. All right. Oh, 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 praise God. Coming in the last minute. Okay, here we go.
That's how he do.
I'm going to sit right here just because I want this taped.
You.
I want this taped, and so it goes through here.
And it's comforting to me, too. So
oh,
I like
okay.
That. All right. Behave. Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me? Is it close enough to my face? Okay. I'm Jill Nickum. If you know how when you go to the university it says Dr. Pam Wilkinson, PhD of Sociology or whatever? The Lord has a name tag on me, and it says, Jill Nickum. I am a child of God, period. A servant to Christ, period. And I am obedient to the Holy Spirit,
period. Amen.
So that's the name tag he gave me a couple years ago. It replaced an old name tag that was worn out and awful, and I'm glad for that. So that's my name tag. That's a little bit about me. I want you to know that I am not perfect. I'm redeemed by the blood of Christ, just like every person in here has received him. In 2011, the Lord began to heal me emotionally. And as he healed me, my relationship with the Holy Spirit deepened. He was counseling me, guiding me, showing me. And I was learning about trust and obedience. One of the services that I get to do for him in his kingdom is pray. Amanda's a teacher, prayer, dot, 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 lots and lots of things. We all are. Every single one of us has a purpose in his kingdom. And I got to find out that mine is to pray. That is one of his purposes that he's designed me for, all of us for, but he's teaching me about prayer. Show of hands, who was not able to be here last week? Okay, awesome. So this is for you. We're going to rehash it. She rehashed a little bit. I'm going to rehash a little deeper. Before Amanda began teaching, she spoke to all of us about her emergency surgery. She had gone through 10 days before she was up here to minister to you. She's a soldier for Christ. 10 days. It was due to the ectopic pregnancy. Okay. While she was sharing with us, before she began the teaching that the Lord gave her for that day, she began to become, she had it together, by the way, right? She had it together. And out of nowhere, emotions just swept and overwhelmed her, and she began to break and weep in front of all of us. And in that moment, she became overwhelmed. As soon as Amanda's hand, if those of you are here, her hand came up to her face, like, you know, like it was gonna happen. And as soon as her hand came up to her face, I know others started praying in here. As soon as that hand came up to her face, I felt the Lord say to me, "Speak to her in the spirit." Good. I've been very blessed to have begun to learn the significance as my relationship has grown with them about being obedient to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit offers you something, He said, "Speak to her in the spirit," but it's an offer, not an order. Amen. Mm. It's an offer.
Amen.
It was an opportunity to be blessed and to bless. So when I saw Amanda's hand reach her face and she began to weep, I simultaneously heard the Holy Spirit say, "Speak to her in the spirit." When I spoke, what came out was my prayer language. And every person in here heard that prayer language. There wasn't an ear that it didn't fall on.
And you stood up.
I didn't even stand.
I thought you did.
I didn't. The Holy Spirit just was like, "Phoom," and you, I didn't.
Wow.
Did I stand up?
No.
No.
Oh.
That's cool. So
I thought I saw you stand up.
Was someone praying in their prayer language, which I'm not alone. Yeah, prayer language, tongues, and we can talk about that. That's a whole nother study. I wasn't going to touch on it today because I don't feel like I'm qualified yet. So, but I do have lots of scripture that we're going to reference, okay? We're going to have a couple questions at the end, and if it comes up, we'll address it.
Amen.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
God's good.
What you all witnessed was my prayer language. The Lord instantaneously answered the prayer as soon as about three sentences came out. And at the end of it, she was praising Jesus. Those of you who witnessed it, she went from broken to praising Jesus in an instant. That was incredible. The Father met her need. He came, He met her need, and it was over, and she went on. She did a whole study. Nobody talked about it. Nobody talked about it. So Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray at all times in the Spirit, and on every occasion stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." Romans 8:26-27, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray. We don't know what He wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words."
Amen.
"And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." In that moment, it was one point in time. There wasn't even a transition of the offer to the cognition to happening. It kind of just immediate. And in that moment, I fully trusted. I want to talk about and bring to our attention our trust for our Father, for Jesus, and for our Holy Spirit. In that moment, I fully trusted the Holy Spirit to know exactly what Amanda needed to be prayed for more than I ever would in English. I couldn't know him, yes. So the language the Lord gave me to pray with won the race. It got there a lot faster than Jill ever could have. So it won the race. 1 Corinthians 14:13, Paul teaches about praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. There's also, we all know, and if you don't know, it's in Acts as well after the Holy Spirit comes down. And this is, I should just hand this here because you know a lot more about it than I do. And I don't want to mess up, Lord.
You're doing great.
But we also know about tongues coming down when the Holy Spirit came down. And that was His first purpose for tongues, was to spread the gospel to others that don't know.
Mm-hmm. Day of Pentecost.
Hebrew. Day of Pentecost. Thank you. But what I'm going to reference is Paul in 1 Corinthians when he's talking to the Corinthians who have been given the gift of tongues to pray in, and he's giving them direction. Okay? So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. Okay? For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. That's true. Well then, what shall I do? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray in words that I understand. Praise God. You know, when I pray, I don't always know what's being prayed. I trust the Holy Spirit. He's got it, and it's just coming. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Father, that shortly after, during her ministering, he gave me what was said, so I can share it with you. Okay? The Lord gave me a strong sense of what was said. An interpretation is not a direct translation. Hola, hello. Buenos dias. Have a good day.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yikes. Put me on the spot.
Sorry, thank you. You got it.
Good day.
So an interpretation is not a translation, and it's important for you to know that. So the interpretation the Lord gave me as what was being said in that prayer at that moment that he answered was, be at peace, all is well. When a prayer is prayed in the spirit, we can trust him that it is aligned with his will.
Yes.
And his word. Amen.
And his word. So I was so blessed Sunday when I sat down to write out what was going to be said today. And I said, well, let's look that up. Let's find it in scripture because it's got a line, right? So be at peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, be thankful. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There you go. Be at peace. The next thing that, and this is a gist, that was said was all is well. That's so giant. All. That's like past, present, future.
Ooh, I receive all that, right?
Is well.
All is well.
Okay, so Ooh. In Isaiah 3:10.
Receive it.
Tell the godly that all will be well for them.
Mm.
They will enjoy the rich reward that they have earned. So, there you have it. Those of you who witnessed it, that was what you were witnessing being prayed over her, and saw the Lord touch her, change her, and he moved. And we praise him for it. We can never anticipate how the Lord is going to move.
Mm.
And that's the glory of it, because if we could, we start to feel responsible for it, and that is too much for any of us to bear. So praise you, Father God, that you are mysterious and we cannot anticipate the ways.
Thank you, Father.
But I just want to encourage you all, and many of us in this room are already walking it, and encourage me, and I encourage you to trust him and be obedient to his offers that he gives you, because God is very, very good.
Amen.
That's it.
Oh, that was awesome. Thank you, Jill, so much. Oh, that was awesome. That was beautiful. Oh, wow. To be used of the Lord is such an amazing thing, and it's... What's amazing is that I didn't even think about this, but as she was speaking, this totally aligned with today's word, being used of the Lord in a powerful way, and the things that are in you that we have not discovered in our lives. And this is just, I mean, Holy Spirit just knows what he's doing when he aligns things just perfectly. If you were not here last week and that stirred your spirit and you would have liked to have heard it or been a part of it, it is on the CD, the whole thing. And it is incredible. I've listened to it twice just because it ministered to me so much. It was from the Holy Spirit. So it really just blessed and encouraged me this past week as I prepared even for today. I don't think there's any CDs left. I made like 16 or 17. But if you want one, just go ahead and write your name down and that specific teaching, which was Obsessed Desire, which was last week. And I'll go ahead and make a copy of that for you. It was beautiful and so blessed. And thank you, Jill. Your preparation was impeccable. She did it yesterday for me on the phone. Yes, she did yesterday for me on the phone. And it's like, okay, this is what I have. And I was like blown away. I was like, this is exactly what I felt like the Lord wanted you to do, to say what had been done and to give the scriptural reference, because God is all about this. And I don't know if you realize this, but in my prayers, at the beginning, I always give room for the Holy Spirit to come and work, because I want him here. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
Freedom. What is it? So I don't want confusion. I don't want distraughtness. I don't want weirdness. I want freedom. And freedom is with the Holy Spirit. And to know that the Holy Spirit and the Lord is in this place blesses me, because there is freedom to express your God-given abilities and gifts that he's giving you. And I just want those to be operated in this place. Amen. So I'm excited about today's word. We're going to go ahead and get on it. Let me get my stick, my little thing. All right. Everyone grab an outline. Praise God. I remembered to do that this morning. Yay for me. It's been kind of a crazy, hectic last week and a half. Of course, the surgery and all that. But then at the same time, my husband, man, sometimes when the sun shines, sometimes the rain comes as well. So in the middle of all this, my husband promotes to lieutenant. He's an APD officer. Yes, this is a big deal. Thank you. Lieutenant is a huge, I don't know if you know anything about the police department, but to promote takes so much work. You have to study for this huge exam and an oral board for 6 months in advance. And then you are put on a list. And according to how well you did, top is kind of like, well, if, you know, whoever retires or moves up, you get promoted. But when my husband worked so hard and he got 25 on the list, and 2 years ago he took this and he was so disappointed because he had studied so hard and he was like, oh, I'm just not going to make it. It's not going to happen. And I said, you know what? I said, God's got it under control. I said, he's got the whole thing worked out. Even though it's not what we wanted or anticipated, I'm going to go ahead and trust him, because he has this whole thing worked out, and his timing and season for us as a family is what he's all about. He wants what's best for us, right? So we're going to trust that. And let me tell you what, it's taken me a long time to get to that kind of attitude and place in my life, to just be like, to not want what my flesh wants, and to go ahead and just be in tune with the Holy Spirit and what God wants. And needless to say that God took him immediately into a position, took him out of another position. He was already a sergeant, but he was in another place, and he took him to another place where God just blessed him. He never had so much fun being a policeman as he did in that specific unit. So for the last 2 years, he's been someplace where God has just really poured into him the joy of doing what he does. Amen? And at the same time, he gave him a take-home car with free gas, which was, it was like the raise that you get for lieutenant. I mean, it was like God just went ahead and just gave him this. And so we just continue to just trust the Lord in the whole process. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I am. And God wants to say this. So we continued to trust him in the whole process. And about 6 weeks ago, it looked like my husband was number one on the list. And we were like, man, I'm like, Lord, you didn't bring him this far to drop him, you know? I was like, you didn't bring him this far to drop him. And one of the prayers that I pray for my husband, almost every day, is that he would be respected at the city gates where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And I pray that, I just got goosebumps. It's in Proverbs 31, that he's respected at the city gates where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. And praying that is praying favor, not only God's favor on his life, but favor where he resides and works. And there was a man that was a lieutenant, and there, all of a sudden there was rumors going around that he was going to retire, which would make my husband promote. And rumors going around, the stock market kind of went down there for a little bit, and the guy said, I'm not going to retire now because I've got to have the stock market go back up in order for me to get the money that I need for retirement. And so we were like, oh, Lord, I'm not putting my trust in the stock market. But Lord, you can do whatever you want, yeah. But you can do whatever you want, and you can do, you know, I'm just going to trust you in this place and continue to trust him. All of a sudden, about 2 weeks before the deadline for the promotion list to expire, he calls Jonathan and says, I want you to know that the stock market went up enough for me to receive my full retirement. I am promoting because I want to promote somebody that I know will do a great job as lieutenant. And right then, my husband was so humbled that this guy would choose to retire to promote my husband because he respected him and the work that he had done. So right then I began to see the prayer that I had been praying, that I pray, you know, all the time, that you might not see the fruit of it all the time, but consistency in that prayer come to fruition. And because of that, he promoted and is a lieutenant, and it was beautiful, and we're just so thankful. But he went to night shifts. That's the rain. A little bit of rain. So night shifts, kind of an adjustment, let me tell you what. To go back to those night shifts, he did that as a young patrolman, but he has not done it as a 40-year-old. So it's been tough trying to get our family. So needless to say, that's why I started this, about the outline. Hilarious. He took the iPad, and so I couldn't do the outline, but he brought it home this morning. Praise God. I printed it up, and y'all have it. There you go. Just the way it goes. All right, this morning, we are talking about the desired woman. Because you have your outline, you know. The desired woman. We have talked about desire in itself in this world. We have talked about the undesired woman, Leah, and what God did for her. And then last week we talked about obsessed desire. That was a good one. I don't know about y'all, but that ministered to me. It really did. It just really gave me clues about a lot of things. This week we're going to talk about the desired woman. Here we go. Another Kardashian, right? I mean, am I saying that right? Kardashian, that's it. This one's Khloe. They literally are on the cover of every single magazine. What are they famous for?
Nothing.
I'd like to know, like, what? Why are we interested in them? I really don't know. I they're like famous for no reason, but they're famous, okay? They're on the cover of every... Okay, there we go. That's, okay. Okay. Okay, there we go. All right. And they're kind of dramatic. So they give a good stage performance, I'm guessing, right? You know? Okay, so in this day and age, this is what we have. We have the woman of the month. We do. The desired woman of the season, right? The woman that we look at, I mean, come on, let's be honest. We go by HEB and we see the magazine. You know, it's the woman that we look at. We just quickly glance what she's wearing, how she's wearing it, you know, and take note. I kind of do that. I'm going to confess. Oh, yeah, that's good. Oh, I like that nude polish. That's probably in. I need to get that. I mean, for real. And she totally has it on. I looked at her nails. It's the woman that we won't admit it, but we do. We want to look up the article and see what she eats and what her exercise program is, because if I do it, then I'll look like her. And just so you know, that's not what she looks like. You know how much goes in to make this look this way? Like the airbrushing, the cutting off of some of the hips. Yeah. She's a good girl. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. She says, Khloe, how I earn these curves. Okay, there we go. There you go. And so this is the girl that we, you know, someone like her. We kind of fine-tune, we look to, we think, wow, she must have it all, right? Look at, I mean, don't, past what we really know about her, if you just look at the cover, you're kind of like, oh, man, she must have it easy, you know? Look, she's on the cover of the magazine, she's desired. I bet everybody looks at this from all over the world and thinks, how can I look like that? How can I dress like that? Not really. I don't think I'd wear that. But I want to know more about this woman, this desired woman. So the desired woman of the month. Does anyone have anyone like this in their life? You know, like personally, like someone like that you're friends with, like the desired woman, the woman that you think has it all, the woman that you think, you know, doesn't have to go through very much in her life. She just externally, she's got it going on, and it's easy. I mean, you watch her, her husband adores her. He parades her like she's on a float 24/7. You know, I mean, it's like you have this person in your life and you're like, what the heck do they do? You know, things are just easy for him. I mean, they're just, they're desired, and it just comes so easy for you. Maybe it's someone that you don't know personally, but you watch from afar. You've watched from afar and have taken note of her life in a lot of different areas. Though you don't know a lot about her, externally you've taken notes on her because she has it all in your eyes. So as we begin to study, I know you're thinking, well, Amanda, you're going to talk about the desired woman, but you're obviously going to talk about something negative about this desired woman. So you're thinking this morning, what could her hang-ups be? I mean, come on. The desired woman, what could her hang-ups be in life? I mean, she's got what everybody is looking for. She's got the thing, the desire that we all are chasing after that we don't have to because of what Christ did on the cross. She's got it going. What could be her hang-ups? Because if she does have anything to complain about, she needs to just get over it. She just needs to move on and put her big girl pants on because she's got what's going on. And this morning, I want to go into the Word of God and talk about the ultimate desired woman, where, who, what she is, because everybody wants to know the story of the desired woman. Come on. We all want to read the article on who she is, where she is, what she is, where does she come from, how did she get here? Come on, ladies, I'm not the only one that's thinking this. Come on. We want to know the desired woman's story. So the Bible, of course, has the answer. I'm all about that. Genesis chapter 29, if you will turn there, we're going to talk about the Bible's version of the cover of Shape magazine, the woman of the month. Her name is Rachel. Turn to Genesis chapter 29. Yes, we're in Genesis again. Genesis has so much to offer us regarding these things. Genesis 29. Now, I know I put on your outline a bunch of different scriptures because we're going to be skipping over quite a few scriptures this morning. I want you to get to the gist of what we're talking about this morning, or what the Lord wants you to know this morning about Rachel. So just follow along. I'm going to speak out loud the verse that I will be reading. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 29, verse 1 and 2. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Then Jacob continued on his journey and came to the land of the eastern peoples. Verse 2, there he saw well in the field with three flocks of sheep lying near it, because the flocks were watered from that well. The stone over the mouth of the well was large. Okay, got that? Let's move on to 6. Then Jacob asked them, is he well? Yes, he is, they said. And here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep. So as you can see, he arrives at the well. He sees that there are sheep around. There's other shepherds there, you know, doing their thing. And then he sees, and he says, here comes his daughter Rachel with the sheep, okay? So here comes Rachel with the sheep. This is her first entrance into this story. She comes with the sheep. Verse 9, while he was still talking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Verse 10, when Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Verse 11, then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. Wow. We're going to get on that. Okay. Verse 12, he had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah. So she ran and told her father. Moving on. Go to verse 16 do I have 21? Okay. 16. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. 18. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. Verse 19. Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Woo, desired. 21, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to lie with her. Stop. All right. That is definitely a great story of a woman being desired. Amen? Having it all, being seen outwardly as someone who would be on the cover of Shape magazine, an article that we would walk by and take note of the things in her life that she did. So let's look at the history of Rachel, because I always believe, where did they come from? How did she get this place? What happened to her life that all of a sudden she was so attractive to Jacob? Come on, ladies, I want to know the desired woman's story this morning. We know that for a fact that the beginning of the Bible tells us that Rachel is a shepherdess. Everyone say shepherdess. That is one who tends to sheep, okay? Most of the time, men did this. A few of the time, women did this. But most of the time, you always heard of men taking care of the sheep. So right off the bat, this woman had something, some kind of strength, something about her that put her in that position. Come on, I'm going somewhere this morning. So she is mentioned as a woman who cares for sheep. In fact, the name Rachel, this is amazing. If your name's Rachel, pay attention. The name Rachel, the meaning of the name Rachel, is a grown female sheep. It's called a who. Seriously, you can Google it right now. Rachel means who, W-O-O-W-H-O-O, which is a grown female sheep. So when I read that, to me, it tells me about Rachel that she is actually living out her name. And to live out your name is a really amazing thing, especially in the Old Testament. So she is caring for the sheep. She is a shepherdess, and that is what she is called. She does this for a living. Okay? She finds herself, because of what she does, she finds herself in places where she is out meeting other people, new people, because she is not in the tent. Now, in the Bible days, women usually hung out by the tent, took care of the tent needs, took care of the household needs, you know, made the food. Not Rachel. Not Rachel. Rachel got to go out. She was the sister that got to go to college. You know, I mean, she got to experience the world, you know. Oh, my sister. Oh, I'm here stuck at my dad's, you know, shop, you know, what, making bread. But my sister got to go to California and discover her dreams. Come on. You know that story. You know, that's Rachel. She's the sister that got to go. She got to go. She got to be the shepherdess. She's out meeting new people. She's out doing new things. She's out in the field away from the tent. Wow. Wow. Come on, ladies. I don't know why Rachel was chosen to be the shepherdess and not Leah, but the Bible's very specific to tell us that Leah had weak eyes. And we talked about that a little bit spiritually, what I feel like the Lord's saying, but physically, if she had weak eyes, she might not have been able to take care of the sheep the way that Rachel could. So Rachel is outdoing this thing. Rachel was fulfilling her name, out experiencing. Because of her job, Rachel probably exuded, I hope I'm using that word right, exuded a confidence, a strength in her because of what she does. Come on. Because of what she is and out and what she's doing, she naturally probably exudes a confidence and an inner strength in her life. Because of what she does. And I'm going to tell you something. Women in her days were compared to their sisters or their family members, not to a movie star, because there was no magazines at that time, and there was no filming, and there was no models and all this. So when you were compared to your sister. And if you know, she's very much compared to Leah in the scripture. So right now, she's being compared to somebody who is already described as being weak and delicate. So she is already, in her eyes, got the whole package. Compared to Leah, this girl has got it going on. So confident. She's forward. She's upfront kind of personality. That kind of personality is appealing physically and is desirable. Come on. You know that. Charismatic people naturally kind of got an appealing personality. That's why they tend to go into sales. Because they have something that they can sell you, and you kind of go, okay. They have an appealing personality. So let's just say that Rachel gives a good first impression. All right? She gives a good first impression. Come on, ladies. We're not talking about second and third impressions. We're talking about right off the bat. She gives a good first impression. The impression that you see when you walk by that woman and you immediately see everything external and you think that must have it all. The magazine cover, the movie star, whatever it is. A good first impression. A good first impression. Impression. And here comes Jacob. Woo! I just laid a good foundation. So here, or the Holy Spirit did. Here comes Jacob. He's been traveling from his journey. He is walking up to this well, tired, sweaty. We know that's trouble, right? From last week, we learned that when a man sweats, it what our hormone levels? It spikes our hormone levels. Okay, you can get that. You can get that CD. But here he comes, sweaty, long on his journey, coming up, and he sees Rachel, and his eyes are not weak and delicate. All is well with his eyes to see Rachel, who he describes as having great form. Woo! And beauty, okay? All is well. So here we have this story. This is an amazing love story. So you have fireworks going off. The symphonies are playing all around them. Just, it's amazing. Instant connection between these two, because I know there had to be, because when he sees her, he just goes up and kisses her. I mean, it's like love at first sight. Boom. Kisses her. The Bible says that a kiss is exchanged between them. Man, their chemistry must have been fantastic. Everything is so great. And Jacob confesses his love by, listen to this. This is amazing. Look at verse 14. I didn't read this before. Verse 14. Then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." Second part. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month. I love it. Like it's so long. A whole month. He confesses his love for Rachel by saying, "I'm going to work for you for 7 years to have your daughter as my wife." After 1 month, 4 weeks, he's willing to literally give 7 years of his life for her. Wow. To be desired must be so great. So great. This woman must have had superpowers. She must have had something. Wow, I need to read on in her article because she has something that I can learn from. Something is there. Every day she woke up and felt the umph of the word desire, always feeling so wanted and needed by Jacob. But saying all this, laying this foundation in our lives, so y'all just have a really good picture, clear picture of who Rachel was and where she's coming from. Saying all this, I want to know, how does such a desired woman become jealous of an undesired woman to the point of death? Look at verse 30, verse 1. Chapter 30, verse 1. I'm sorry. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I'll die. Give me children or I'll die." So how does this happen? What happens? Let me tell you something, ladies. I want you to get this morning. Come on, come with me. If you're not birthing anything, nothing is coming forth out of you, what is the point of desire? Come on. If nothing is coming from desire, come on, ladies, come on with me this morning. If no fruit is coming from desire, what is the point of it? What is the point of it? She was not birthing anything. There was no fruit. There is no life because desire doesn't birth anything. It didn't give her what she truly wanted. Come on. Come on, ladies. Come with me. Someone needs to hear this morning. Desire gave her nothing. It gave her nothing. We can be desired physically by every Tom, Dick, Harry, or Sally and not bear spiritually things, you will become emotionally dead. Emotionally dead. Desired, coveted, wanted, touched, you name it, emotionally dead. She speaks it out. Because heritage was what it was all about, to not bear anything but to be desired, took this coveted woman to the point of emotional death. Emotional death. This physically wanted woman was emotionally dead, because when you don't birth spiritual inheritance, you are emotionally numb. Come on, I'm going somewhere this morning. Verse 1, listen to it again. When Rachel saw, to see means to become aware of your spiritual infertility. When she sees that, listen to what she does. Listen to verse 1. When Rachel saw that she was not bearing Jacob any children, she became jealous of her sister. So she said to Jacob, give me children or I'll die. Listen to this point. When you become aware of your spiritual infertility, our initial reaction is to blame that which gives and gives to legacy. Come on, ladies. You know when you're unhappy, when you're miserable, it's so easy to point the finger at those around you. You're causing this. You're making me unhappy. I feel the way I feel because of you and the things that you have done and the things that you have chosen and the burdens that you put on me. When you become aware of your sick womb, your numb, dead womb, and you realize I'm miserable, you want to blame that out there that you think can give you what you need. It's our first inclination. I'm miserable. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. You might be asking, what's spiritual inheritance? What are you even talking about? If I'm not birthing spiritual inheritance, you're saying that I'm going to be emotionally dead. I'm glad you asked me. Let's go there. Spiritual inheritance. Birthing children in her time was birthing inheritance. This was the ultimate for the family. Listen to this. So when God decided to bless a woman in the Bible, what did he do? He didn't give her a new Louis Vuitton. He opened up her womb so she could bear children. Come on, ladies. When God comes to bless you, he doesn't give you something physically that's tangible that you can touch. He opens up your spiritual womb and puts a gift and an ability down there to not only bless you, but to bless the kingdom of God. That's what he does. That's what he does. When he wants to bless you, when he wants to do something great in your life, he puts something spiritually great down in you and begins to grow it to serve him and to serve the body of Christ, because there is ultimate fulfillment in that. The things of this world will bring joy to us, limited joy, but spiritual birthing is eternal joy, something we get to celebrate forever and ever and ever and ever. Why do you think Jesus, when you get to heaven, says, well done, good and faithful servant? Not because you bought everything great. It's because you birthed things that were great. Come on, ladies. Because you birthed things. You labored over things that he gave you. You were in tune to what the Holy Spirit wanted to do through you. And you did great things for his kingdom. Come on, I'm preaching good. Verse 2, listen to her response with not birthing. This is so amazing. Oh, I love the Bible. Verse 2, listen to this. Jacob became angry with her and said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? Why does Jacob say this? Think about this. Why does Jacob say this? Because he knows the issue does not lie with him. Because he was birthing just fine with Leah. The infertility was not in him. It was not his issue because Leah was popping him out right and left. Come on, ladies. The issue is not with God in your life. It's not him. Because there are many women in this world that are birthing spiritual great things. It's not God. Stop blaming him. It's not God. It's your womb. It's your womb that you have closed off to him because of insecurity, fear, doubt, worry. You've closed it off, and he's saying, just let me touch it. Just let me touch it. Watch what I can do in your life if you would just say, open me up, God. Touch this place in my life. Come on, tell your neighbor, girl, open your womb. Come on, come on. Open your womb. Come on, we got to interact sometimes. Open up your womb. Open up your womb. Tell that numb womb to be open, to come alive, to begin to breathe the goodness of God so that he can do the deeper thing in your life. The issue is not God. Stop blaming him. So many angry people that are walking around just angry at God. He's to blame. He did this to me. He allows the evil in this world. How can a sovereign God allow children to be raped and children to die? How can a sovereign? It's his fault. It's not him. He's doing mighty things in the kingdom of God. It's our womb that's broken and needs to be healed. Rachel decided to take matters into her own hands. And if you read on, I'm not going to spend time to do that. She goes and gets her servant Bilhah to produce for her. Oldest trick in the Bible. You'd think that she would have learned from her ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, that it doesn't work to do that. If you know the story of Abraham, you know that Ishmael came from that. And now we fight Ishmael constantly. We're still fighting Ishmael. We're still fighting that thing physically. It doesn't work. She thinks, listen to verse 8. This is so cool. Listen to verse 8. Then Rachel said, I have had a great struggle with my sister. I have had a great struggle with the undesired woman. Great struggle. I have had a great struggle in my life. I am so jealous of the undesired woman. Listen to this, verse 8. I have had a great struggle in my life with my sister, but I have won. But I have won. She thinks because she took matters into her own hands and produced birthing through her maid that she won with this struggle that she has. This desired woman struggling with an issue that no one would look at first impression and think was such a deathly issue. Come on, she wanted to die. She was so miserable. I'm guessing she was suicidal. Come on. So miserable. She had it all. Beauty, body form, a man that desired her 24/7, a great job, admired by others. Everything, everything that you would think. She was sad, depressed, suicidal to the point of death, and jealous of Leah. Ladies, to birth spiritually in your life, there is nothing like it in the world. To birth the kingdom of God, to allow God to move through you, to allow him to put things in you and to bring things out of you that have been put there since the foundation of the earth. According to the word of God, he says that he put things in us, that he knew us and formed us in our mother's womb. He put those things in us, and to allow him to touch it a second time and bring it back to life and be used for him is an amazing thing in this world. To be used for the kingdom of God. Intimacy. Intimacy is where it's at. Intimacy, to understand his love and desire for you through birthing, is so amazing. I read a story of a woman who has she has a really cool ministry in New York, and her book is all about how she struggled with massive depression to the point where she couldn't even get out of bed in the morning. It took everything for her to just step out of bed. And she said she would be in New York, she'd be at the park, and all of a sudden she'd have a massive panic attack. I mean, just struggled emotionally, just was so, just, oh, what in the world? And here she is, this believing Christian, but she was not birthing anything spiritually. Come on, Rachel was a daughter of Abraham, Isaac. Come on, she was inheritance. and she was miserable. You can be a Christian and be miserable because you're not birthing. And one of the things she says is through the discovery of healing in God's life is that the reason that she felt the way she did was because she was not spiritually birthing what she was called to do in the kingdom of God. That's why there is depression in the church and anxiety in the church and fear and worry and disbelief, because we are walking in the things of this world instead of walking in tune to the Holy Spirit to walk out our purpose. Emotionally dead. Not living out why we're here for this season and for this time. I love this part of Esther. She was called for this season and this time. Ask the Lord, why am I here in this season and this time? If you're here, there's a purpose for you. If you woke up this morning and breathed in and out, there's something God has for you to do in this kingdom. Whether it be to touch a child that has maybe never been touched, or to smile at someone that never gets a smile, or if it's someone or to give money to someone that is in need, or if it's just to bless somebody, or if it's to pray, or if it's to serve in the church, whatever it is, for such a time as this, Esther did not become queen so that she can get mani pedicures and spa treatments all day long. She became queen to save Israel. Let me tell you something. God will bring you to greatness, not for your glory, but for His glory only. He will bring you to status, not because He thinks that you deserve it or it belongs to you, but because He deserves it and He's going to use you as a humble vessel for Him. Tell Him that you want Him. Tell Him that you need Him. When I first began to study intimacy with Christ, people kept talking about have a relationship with God. You need a relationship with God. You need a relationship with God. How do you have a relationship? Well, if you study anything about relationship, the first thing is communication. Amen?
Amen.
Get in their presence and communicate with somebody. It's the same thing with Christ. Just say, God, I need you. I don't know what else to say, but I want more of you in my life. I want to know you. I want to feel you. I want to see you manifested. Change my heart, oh God. Renew in me a steadfast spirit. Make me pure. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. Just take me, lead me, guide me beside still waters. And as you begin to study the word, you'll begin to just pray the word over your life, and it's powerful. It's powerful. Just ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Say, I must become less so you can become greater in my life. Come on, there's nothing like humility to the Lord. That's a John the Baptist prayer. I call it the John the Baptist prayer, and I pray it a lot because I want God to constantly know that I must become less so He can become greater in my life. I must become less so He can become greater. John the Baptist says this when Jesus' ministry begins to really grow and multiply, and they begin to tell John, look, Jesus is, your ministry is going down and His ministry is going up. And He says, oh, I must become less while He becomes greater. And if this ministry, it grows and multiplies, I must become less and He must become greater because it's His. Look at verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and opened her womb. The word remembered means heard. Write that down. The word remembered in God, when God says, I remember, it means He heard. He heard. He heard Rachel. So somewhere Rachel got intimate. Somewhere Rachel started to talk to Him. Somewhere she began to take things out of her own hands and what she thought she could do to make things better. Come on, we like to do that as women. I'll fix it, I'll fix it, I'll fix it, I'll fix it. And we make it a bigger mess than what God should do. But if you just take your hands off and say, God, You will and work, You do it. It's through me that You are used. Come on, Lord, come on, Lord, come use me, come use me. Take it out of your own hands and let God work in His life. He heard it, He remembered it, and He implanted spiritual inheritance in her womb. Amazing. He gave her the desires of her heart because somewhere she stopped doing her own thing and started allowing him do his thing in her life. Wow. I'm going to tell you what. 8 years ago, I was on a road to self-pity and self-exaltation and self. Thinking that self could do all. Self. And God quickly took me off that road. And the last 8 years has taught me how amazing it is when you allow God to take your road. 8 years ago, I never would have thought that I would be doing what I'm doing today. But God, his spiritual inheritance is so great. I can't emphasize the importance of intimacy with God. Birthing, ladies. The things of this world, desire is a vaporing mist. It just is. It's a vaporing mist. But spiritual inheritance is satisfying. I'm going to close with this. About a week ago, I don't know why I did this, but who knows Britney Spears? Okay, three of us. You're about my age. In college, Britney Spears was it. I went to her concert. I loved her music. I studied her. I thought she was the coolest thing to ever walk this earth. Like, literally, in my college eyes, she was the most desired woman that had set foot on this world. So I watched this documentary on her for about 45 minutes about a week ago, and I'm just sitting there, you know, knowing all the troubles and issues she's had since then, you know, watching this whole thing played out, you know, so desired. I mean, every girl wanted to be like her in college, and every boy wanted her, and here she is, just emotionally dead. Just dead. And showing it to the whole world. Shaving her head, doing drugs, driving with her kid in her front lap with no seat, I mean, just dead. Showing the world, I'm emotionally dead. So desired. So desired. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you that you are here, that you rule and reign. Minister to these women in their small group, Lord. Be with them, guide them, lead them, teach them, reveal yourself to them in the intimate place, Father. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, get in your small group and just unleash the beast. Thank you. Next week's study is on desire between women. Whoop! I'm telling you, we don't desire each other sexually, we desire each other socially, and it's an issue. We are so competitive with each other. It's going to be good. Don't miss it. Thanks, Tanner. You get to listen to a woman's Bible study this morning. You get to listen to our issues. It's good for you. Oh, I forgot to turn off the recording.